Welcome to the Monitor Daily Podcast. It's Thursday, May 20th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Amelia Newcomb.
And I'm Ken Kaplan.
Earlier this week, two Monitor correspondents and I chatted about respect, along with more than 900 other people. The occasion? A Monitor Community Hub webinar about our Respect Project, a series that has run over the past 2 weeks. The Respect Project plumbs a value that can seem in short supply amid deep divides. We actually wondered if the initiative would stand up as our reporters looked into issues from politics to racial equity. It did. In fact, being alert to the idea of respect in its many expressions gave greater depth to their stories. For Sarah Miller-Yana, it meant reporting differently on the work of a group of Black mothers advocating for equity in the Ontario public schools. The story was not just about a difficult battle, but a lesson in what it truly means to establish respect. For Dina Kraft, who has long covered Israeli and Palestinian politics and society, and, as she puts it, the intersections between people whose lives aren't supposed to intersect, it was about giving voice amid the current conflict to the many Jews and Arabs who have looked at the mob violence and hatred and said, "That's not us." And then there was our audience, who immediately weighed in on how they could contribute to fortifying respect. As they put it, not fanning the flames, really hearing each other's stories, or showing more respect in political conversations. More than 300 joined a chat forum, offering book recommendations and ideas about actions to take. If you'd like to watch a recording of the event, you can find it at csmonitor.com by clicking on the Respect Project logo. And let us know what you think. Now, today's stories. Our first story, what happens when settled law isn't really settled? Supreme Court justices are showing a greater willingness to toss precedent, even when they haven't been asked to do so.
The Supreme Court has, for the best part of a century, regularly overturned precedents led by justices of all ideological stripes. But the theory underlying those decisions, that the court must be asked first and that a special justification is needed, has been applied with relative consistency. As the justices prepare in the coming months to review precedents on contentious issues like abortion rights, gun rights, and the nexus of LGBTQ rights and religious liberty, that consistency with which precedent is treated seems to be shifting. We are in the midst of a change in how Supreme Court justices treat established precedent, says Kimberly West Falcone, a professor at Loyola Law School in Los Angeles. The ramifications could be significant. It is important to have confidence that the meaning of the U.S. Constitution does not change because the personnel of the Supreme Court changes, says Professor West Falcone. More importantly, it makes individual justices who are currently sitting on the Supreme Court far more powerful than in the past, she adds. If you are not obligated to make exceptions for the vast majority of already decided cases, no prior legal rule is safe. This story was reported by Henry Gass in Irving, Texas, for The Monitor.
As residential sprawl feeds ever more destructive wildfires, California is taking aim at local control over land use planning, appealing to a sense of shared responsibility.
The number and intensity of wildfires has grown in recent years, especially in California. Last year alone, nearly 10,000 fires consumed 4.2 million acres of land in the state, killing 33 people and causing about $10 billion in damage. It's particularly problematic in areas where development meets natural lands. 11 million Californians live within this wildland-urban interface, more than a fourth of the population. Add to this a drought and desperate need for more housing, and the perils are clear. Attempting to address the risks, state lawmakers are butting up against property owners, developers, and local control over who gets to build and where. The Attorney General's office has joined a pair of lawsuits that would block two housing developments, citing developers' insufficient consideration of potential wildlife dangers. Proposals in the legislature take aim at local planners and at homeowners to block or redefine new construction and to urge existing communities to become more fire adaptive. The collective measures call on Californians to share responsibility for fire safety statewide. Once the fire starts, it's too late, Democratic Assemblymember Jim Wood of Santa Rosa tells the Sacramento Bee. That preparation work needs to start happening right now. This story was reported by Martin Kuz in Sacramento, California, for The Monitor.
Denmark's asylum policies prioritize return over integration. That can be life-threatening when the country one must return to is Syria.
Syria remains in the hands of President Bashar al-Assad, who destroyed large swaths of the country to stay in power. But Denmark has concluded it is safe for Syrians who fled to the Nordic country to return to Damascus, and is rapidly revoking or refusing to extend residency permits. The move has earned the country a barrage of criticism. Syria experts reject the notion that Damascus and its surroundings can be considered safe as long as the country is run by Mr. Assad. And by declaring Damascus safe, Denmark has shifted the ground of debate. What the Danish authorities are assessing is whether the Syrians have a risk of being persecuted on an individual basis, says Lisa Blinkenberg of Amnesty International. It is not enough to say that there is a lot of violence going on. You need to prove that you are individually persecuted. At the heart of the matter are broad Danish concerns that migrants and refugees are undermining the country's societal cohesion, which many Danes believe depends on a shared language and cultural heritage. The effort to stem migration is popular across the Danish political spectrum, despite the threat it poses to Syrians. This story was reported by Dominique Sogel in Basel, Switzerland, for The Monitor.
A desire for self-sufficiency in food production can conflict with environmental stewardship. In Indonesia's peat forests, that conflict has serious implications for the world's carbon emissions.
Indonesians are still living with the consequences of the pell-mell conversion of carbon-rich peat forests on Borneo Island for rice cultivation in the 1990s. It led to recurrent forest fires that spew poisonous haze into the atmosphere. Now the parched peatland is being sized up for another ambitious project to produce rice and other crops. President Joko Widodo says Indonesia needs to be more self-sufficient in food production and wants to convert vast tracts of land on Borneo and the island of Sumatra, a combined area larger than Connecticut. At a site in central Kalimantan, farmers are planting new rice variants that are supposed to produce higher yields. So far, not all farmers have seen the benefits, and critics say the peatland project is ill-conceived. Safrudin Mahendra, an environmental campaigner, asks, if it fails on the showcase site, what will happen in other areas that have never been used since the 1990s? This story was reported by Dina Rakmianingsa in Kering Bangkirai, Indonesia, for The Monitor.
The pull of conflict can be hypnotic, but in her book High Conflict, Amanda Ripley explores how it is disrupted by genuine listening. As part of our Respect Project, she talks with The Monitor about how we can all find practical ways forward.
The political divide in the United States got Amanda Ripley thinking, how do ordinary people become mired in extreme yet commonplace polarization? The result is her new book, High Conflict. In that kind of intense conflict, one imagines adversaries as evil and less than human. Ms. Ripley went searching for examples of people and communities who had been stuck in high conflict and found a way out. That led her to meet with Democrats in New York City and Republicans in rural Michigan, even to talk with experts for NASA who work on diminishing conflict among crews of astronauts in space. Ms. Ripley describes high conflict as an invisible force with a hypnotic pull. the initial reason for various disputes, becomes less important than the self-perpetuating us-versus-them battle that takes on a cosmic importance for those in its thrall, she explains. The Monitor spoke with the author about how to become aware of high conflict and how to avoid getting drawn into it. The goal, she says, is not surrendering, agreeing, engaging in bipartisan unity, or avoiding conflict. It is a kind of listening that brings an awakening to something you hadn't understood before. This Q&A was conducted by Stephen Humphreys for The Monitor.
Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on play. Let children play. That's the theme of summer 2021, after a school year with young noses largely pressed close to computer screens, the result of the necessity for remote learning. Despite concerns that students have fallen behind academically this school year, many educators and child experts say this year's summer recess needs to be a time away from formal learning. While restrictions continue to evolve on how closely children can play together, the benefits of play are so apparent that all entrusted with the care of children are exploring how to play safely. "You can't cancel summer for kids, you just can't," Philadelphia Parks and Recreation Commissioner Catherine Ott Lovell told Bloomberg. "There has got to be a safe way for us to save summer for the kids of Philadelphia." Around the United States and the world, the summer cry is rising. Let the fun begin. That's a wrap for the news. You can find the full-length versions of these stories in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. And thanks for listening to The Daily today. Please join us again tomorrow when Scott Peterson will explore why the Taliban still exert such a pull in Afghanistan, given their grim past rule. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how Christian healing is possible right here and now, as a man experienced after being involved in a serious accident. You can find the column in today's issue or at csmonitor.com/daily. We want to give a quick thanks to our staff, including today's audio production team, Jingnan Peng and Noel Flatt.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor. Copyright 2021.